And now, it's time for K-Love's Corner.
What corner are we in?
Caleb's Corner. Yes, this is Caleb's Corner, and these views are my own. They do not belong to... not affect anybody else's views here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara, but they are my own thoughts and feelings. If they agree with me, that's their own prerogative, but they don't reflect the views of the station or anyone else on the show, per se.
But so, that said, welcome back to Robots Attack.
Yes. recently my brain has been getting the creative itch again as well.
Yes.
It must be something about summer.
It's potentially.
They found the molecule for nullifying that itch thing, so.
Oh, really?
If you want to turn that off.
Nah, it's okay. All right. I'm actually rather enjoying this sensation again. It's been kind of creeping up on me for a while, but now, like, I feel like I'm actually, like, it's, like, really, like, kind of, like, really poking at me, like, come on, do it.
What helps, too, when you have, like, a job that you seem to be enjoying.
Yes, like, I'm sure that isn't...
gets you motivated, gets you going.
That's mm-hmm. a little bit creative in its own right. So.
It is, and yeah. That definitely does help. One of the podcasts I like to listen to is called Bullseye, and on the
barbecue sauce?
No, not the barbecue sauce.
Cause it's bold.
It is. Recently on it, the host Jesse Thorne interviewed Brian K. Vaughan, who is best known for
being bold.
Get out.
For being the lead writer on Saga, Why the Last Man, and Ex Machina, and he also started Runaways and a few other rather well known titles,
and was one of the final writers for Lost.
Yes, and he one of the things that
he's bold.
He brought up over the course of the interview was like, you know, how does someone get started get into comic book writing or movie writing or whatever. And he said that he had the good fortune of meeting Neil Gaiman when he was getting started. And he asked him, like, what advice would you give a writer getting started? And Neil Gaiman's advice was, get published as fast as you can, because nothing will make you write faster or write better faster than knowing that absolute strangers are reading your total garbage. And that...
Which I agree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of, like, further spurred me into, like, yes, I need to do this thing. Is like, there's a mental state which some people refer to as analysis paralysis, where there's something that you want to do, but you feel like you have to figure it all out before you can do it. And... I encourage you to not do that. That thing that you want to do, that creative bug, that creative itch that's in the back of your mind that you're just like, I want to do a painting. I want to take photography. I want to make a short film. I want to write a novel. Just start. It's going to be drivel. It's going to be dreck. You're going to want to burn it from existence when you start. But that's normal. That's the way it's supposed to go, because you have to get that out first. Once you get that out of you, then the good ideas will come. And don't worry about the fact that it's bad. Everyone's first novel, everyone's first story is bad. Yeah. Even the ones that you kind of like, they're still bad by comparison to what you will be producing if you keep working at it. And don't keep polishing that one. Like, you know,
just look at Fifth Element. That was one of Luc Besson's very first writing gigs, so.
It's true.
While he was in high school.
It's true.
So the idea, one of the things in writing specifically that you'll hear a lot of writers talk about is they'll do their first draft and then they'll stick it in a drawer into a folder in a drawer in a lockbox someplace, like get it as far from that particular writing as possible for an amount of time, and then once they've kind of like gotten it out of their brains by doing something else, writing another story or what have you, they'll come back to it and look at it as freshly as they can and go, wow, that's really awful, or that part's not too bad, I can work with that, and this actually goes together really well. And like, because your brain is very good at processing things in the background. It's like that whole like trying to remember that name of that person in that movie with the face, and then like you can't remember, but like 3 a.m. in the morning you wake up, it's that guy.
Yeah.
It's totally. That kind of thing. Like, your brain will do this to your stories, to your creative projects. So don't like despair if you put it down for a while. But start. That's the main thing. Get started. Once it's started, then it will start to roll.
Because I think for a lot of people, you get that idea of, you know, the saying is like, mm-hmm. the first impression is always super important. So you always feel like, well, if I put this out, you know, people see it and like, it's going to be crap. And then people are going to associate crap with my stuff. It's like,
yeah,
don't worry about that. Just mm-hmm. do it.
Yes.
Just put it out there. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. just get it out of your system. Just do it. Just work on it. Who cares? Who sees it? It's, you're always as good as your last work.
Yes.
Whatever. So it's like, don't worry about it. If it's crap, move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
Yeah.
One of the my mottos that I've adopted as of late is, if you're not moving forward, you're not moving at all. So, I mean, you just got to put it out there. And like you said, you know, you're always as good as your last work. So if you don't have a jumping off point, you can't get better.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, they've done like psychology studies on the act of getting start on completing a project, and the key the research has shown that the key to completing a project is starting a project. Now that sounds sort of like duh, but at the same time, like if you the brain, once it has something started, it will try to complete it in some way, shape, or form. So like, you know, even if like you start, if you're like you want to do a novel, like you just have this idea to write a novel, well, do NaNoWriMo. Just like force yourself to pound through 50,000 words.
Mm.
They will be a pretty awful 50,000 words. You'll probably not be very happy with the results, but you have got 50,000 words out of your system. If you do NaNoWriMo another year, that's 10,000. And by that point, you're starting to actually get somewhere in learning and knowing how to write, what to write, and putting it together. You'll surprise yourself how much you learn by even doing a page a day.
Just write
for 15 minutes a day, you know, or draw 15 minutes a day. Whatever that creative thing is that you've been trying to do, start.
Yeah.
My
screenwriting teacher when I was in college, he had us do like exercise, like, okay, find the time of day that's comfortable for you and blot out like a couple hours or an hour, and just from X time to Y, I'm writing or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just do with that, and just keep do every day. Like that's when I sit down and do my thing. And then when the buzzer goes off or whenever, stop.
Yeah.
And then next day, do it again. If say you only get like one page that first day or that second day, it's fine. Just stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over time you'll get better and better, because your mind will be like, okay, I can sit down. This is the time when I'm gonna write. I can focus, mm-hmm. or, you know, paint or whatever it is you're going to do. Yeah. And then stop, because you need that. Because if you like, I know I found a lot of times where like I'll sit down and I'll write a bunch of stuff and I'll burn myself out.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's better to try to, pace yourself, like focus on a time and get used to it, and not just, I mean, it's also kind of like working out. You don't want to just like jump in and go gung ho, because then the next day you're going to be like completely sore and everything like that. And it'll probably discourage you to keep doing it again. So you want to stay focused. And he also did the same thing of where, you know, after you do the first draft, put it away, focus on something else, and then come mm-hmm. back to that after you finish that one. And when we were done with our first script, he's like, yeah, you've just accomplished what a lot of writers, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
haven't actually done yet. You've made a first draft of a script. So
it
kind of goes back to what you said, start it mm-hmm. and just get it going. And I know it's like, a lot easier said than done. I mean, yes. I've definitely fallen into that of like, yeah, okay, I want to do this and like start it and then nothing happens, you know?
Yeah. Or you sit down to start it and then you start doing what's one of the other shows refers to as yak shaving. You start thinking of things to do around the thing,
yeah,
without actually doing the thing. Like, oh, I need to find the right word processor. No, you don't. You don't need to worry about that.
Yeah.
I need to find the right formatting. No, you just write.
Exactly. And if it helps, like I know I've noticed for me on certain things, I can work pretty well. Like if I kind of team up with another person, like if you want to team up with somebody or just have another, like if for writing, just as an example, mm-hmm. I was doing it, like find a writer's group, find mm-hmm. something so that it sort of forces you to like, okay, every week we're going to meet and read some pages. You're like, well, I have to bring something to this. So it kind of forces you to keep doing it or have somebody to bounce ideas off with, that sort of thing. And just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
keep yourself motivated. Like
surrounding yourself with other creatives is another good way to keep yourself motivated to keep creating.
Yep.
I really like that. Set a specific time every day. I think I might actually try and do that.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, I mean, I've definitely fallen off on that. But when I was in school and focused on the writing, I was like, okay, I tried to find the time in the day when I could where I felt like comfortable, could sit down and just force myself, all right, focus from 4 to 6 or whatever, mm-hmm. 4 to 7 or however long, and just, you know, just force myself to, okay, during this time, that's all I'm focusing on, mm-hmm. nothing else. Like, and then
yeah, turn off your phone, turn off your Twitter, yeah. turn off your Facebook, just do this one thing. Yeah. So there
Good
you
plan.
Go.
I like it.
Right mm-hmm. on. So there you go. That thing you want to do,
do it. Just do it.
Come
do
on.
It now. Come on. Do it.
Get in the chopper.
I was going to say, especially if it's getting to the chopper.
Yeah. You're right there. Just do it. Come on.
Jump. Press the A button. Oh, come on.
Super Jason's like, oh, God. I know these people. Wow. Well, that.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah.
Well, that was an awesome Caleb's Corner on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara. We're going to take another music break and then come back with the core where we're going to discuss the Xbox One, the brand new console that Microsoft has announced.
So, Flame War not required, but welcomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, opinions welcome.
Exactly. So if you feel like participating or letting us know, say on Caleb's Corner, if you had any ideas like, oh, these tips worked for me,
yeah,
let us know. Please. You know, to tell them, Caleb, how they can do that.
That's right. If you if anything has inspired you to contact with us, please do a search for us on Facebook, Robots Attack, 2 words, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, and finally, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. That is our email address. And if all that's like just word soup, robotsattack.me. Just remember that one. That has links under the interact button to everything else I described and archive episodes and comment spot there too. That is your central hub for all things Robots Attack.
Your one-stop shop.
Yes.
Robots Attack.
Yes. It's very good.
Nice. Nice. Tell us about your tip.
Thank you, Jason.
It's very clever.
What? I didn't say anything.
Get down.
Oh, boy. All right.
Music, I think.
Yeah. We are Robots Attack.
You are now entering the core.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We're now in the core where we're going to be discussing the Xbox One, the brand new console from Microsoft. They had their reveal this week.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I want to ask, since let's start it off.
Yes.
Any thoughts on the name? Like it, dislike it, indifferent?
I think the name goes well with the initiative that they expressed over the course of their presentation, and it's better than calling it the Xbox 720.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, definitely they're like, this is going to be our all-in-one. So I'm down with it, except for the fact that there were moments when I was half paying attention. They say Xbox One, and I was thinking
the original Xbox.
Wait, what? Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Super Jason?
It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think like Caleb said, it fits into what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, for the first little bit, it's kind of confusing because you think of the original Xbox, but I think after a while, it's
like, yeah, as soon as like Nintendo becomes the name that everybody knows, it's not going to be a big deal. I mean, think about how much everybody flipped when Nintendo said that they were going to sell a system called the Wii.
Yeah.
And now nobody cares.
Yeah.
They made two of them now.
Yeah.
Still nobody cares.
And then for a lot of people anyway, they called the 360 an Xbox.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Xbox.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, 360. So it's, yeah. I don't see a big deal about it for now. So yes, we're going to talk about the reveal. They made a big focus on television. That was the first part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the overall reveal presentation was definitely more focused on hardware, the actual system. Here's what we're trying to do, this and that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, hinted at a little bit of games, which we'll be talking about in the second half of the core. But,
yes.
You know, Microsoft, there's a lot of people complaining out there now that are like, where are all the games? They don't care about hardcore gamers anymore.
Right.
All of this. Well, you all must have like weren't listening or just didn't pay attention. But Microsoft said from the get-go, this reveal, we're going to show the games at E3. This
yeah.
is about the system. The
right.
games are going to be at E3. I heard him say that over and over again. It's like, E3,
to me, it speaks to how hardcore of gamers these people really are,
yeah.
that they missed this being repeated so many times
yeah.
by a company that they're used to playing their games
exactly. And what's interesting is people brought, you know, they bring up the argument of, well, at the Sony presentation, it was
right.
all about the games. Well, that's because they had to do that.
Yes, they didn't have a box.
Honestly, they blundered for the first part of their console cycle. I mean, now they're doing well. Kind
yes.
of the second half, they've picked up. They're doing well, but they had a big blunder. And so, how can they, you know, get the attention of the hardcore gamers and everything? Let's just show a bunch of stuff about gaming and how this
yeah.
system's going to be all about games.
Right.
So. They had to do that
because mm-hmm. the launch of the PS3 was lackluster.
Yeah. So, but that's enough about the PlayStation. Back to Xbox.
Yes.
So, the first part they showed off the system.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts. How do you guys like the design of the console and the controller and the Kinect?
Me as like a little bit of a design background, it's a throwback. It's completely an older design cue that they are going back to. And the problem with it, unfortunately, is that I think a lot of people associate that design cue at this point with a VHS type thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I see it having a little bit of a hard time with that. But other than that, I don't see any huge problems with it.
Okay. Well, before we get to Caleb's mm-hmm. opinion, got a PSA for you.
Indeed. Life is a wave. So come join the fun at Save the Waves Coalition annual fundraiser bash. Life is a wave. Friday night, June 14th at 111 Mina Gallery in downtown San Francisco. Enjoy live music from Native Elements and Green Gorilla Lounge DJs and a spectacular auction while raising money for Save the Waves environmental programs. Buy tickets and get more info at www.savethewaves.org.
Yes, that's good. And When I first saw the box, I was like, my first impression was,
it's a box.
It's a box. which doesn't mean it's bad. It's like, oh, it's very Xbox One of it. like as in terms of like the original Xbox.
Yeah.
When I saw them, like, oh, they went back to sort of the styling of the original Xbox. But then as they went on about what their initiative behind what they're doing with the Xbox and Xbox Live ecosystems, mm-hmm. it made a lot more sense why they wanted to sort of blend in
exactly.
with a stack of AV components.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, a receiver, some sort of mm-hmm. you know, box that you'd have in your living room.
Yeah, because it's meant to be on top of one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have your amplifier, your TiVo, and this.
Which I have to
box.
Admit was always kind of a problem for me whenever I was trying to figure out where the heck I was going to put my Xbox. I'd always end up putting it on the floor or something because it didn't really fit in any of the normal spots. Not just because of the shape like being a little bit odd, but it needed air. And
yeah.
Because it wasn't designed to be next to a piece of AV equipment, which this one obviously is designed to be, it was horrible, like, setting it right on top of any, like, anything that had any power source, because it would overheat in, like, a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, compared to some other systems, it would last a little bit longer, but still.
Yeah.
So, I know Jason and Joe, you both have a Kinect, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you do not, Caleb?
No, do not.
And neither do I. Now, here's a question. Do you guys use that a lot to actually navigate the way that they were sort of promoting the new Xbox?
Well, I use mostly the voice commands.
How about you, Jason?
If you'll get out of the way... actually, when I first had it set up with a good living room, mm-hmm. I'd use it a lot. Now that I'm in a much more confined space, it is an issue, and so I don't use it as much lately. Not to mention that I've reconfigured my design space like 30 times in the last year, so that makes it kind of difficult too, since it does need setup. So
yeah,
okay. Because I don't know, because I don't have a Kinect.
You're going to criticize it.
Well, I mean, well, here's the thing. I have used it at friends' houses, and it, you know, it can get kind of like, no, that's not what I meant to do. You know, and then especially with the voice commands, which are even worse. You know, I have a friend who we dare not speak its name, you know, because otherwise, like, what? You wanted my attention? What do you want? It's like, no, I wasn't Xbox. Don't, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, again, a standpoint from somebody who doesn't have it, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, miscommunication that can happen.
Yeah. My limited experience with it was overall pretty positive. And from what I've heard about the improvements they made to the new one, it looks like they may have not completely eliminated, but they seem to have at least, they've resolved a lot of the issues. And one of them, including the amount of space you need.
Yeah,
I was reading one guy talk about if you've watched the big promo thing, like oh wow, you can see the guy talking to his Kinect. But I saw interviews or other people talk about when they went off stage and were talking to the actual engineering teams and some of the leads that built some of these tools. And you talked to the guy who was the lead of the Kinect team, and he's like 6 foot. Plus, and he walked up almost to within 3 feet of the Kinect and raised his arms above his head, and he still had space around him to like move before he hit the edge of the visual range. So
yeah, it may look like the previous Kinect, but it's actually much different tech
than
the previous Kinect. That's the main thing.
The guts of this thing have been completely overhauled.
Yeah, this is what they wanted the original Kinect to be,
yes.
But yeah.
Didn't quite have the technology.
Or the budget.
They were afraid that people weren't going to want to spend the money on it.
Yeah, because it would have ended up costing a lot more, and so they took out some of the guts of the original Kinect.
Okay.
And the new one is also going to be sold with the Xbox.
You cannot
get one without it, as far as I know.
Yeah, because it has to be plugged in. And that's a key thing, I think, right there. Because that right there, because before, having optional accessories, you know, black thing, that never, like, for developers, it's like, well, we could work on this thing, but if people don't have it, it's just a bunch of wasted time if we do not. But now that it's packaged with every system, you have to have it connected for it to work. it encourages developers to try it out and use it and try, you know,
do more with it.
And if, for sake of argument, you're not sold on this idea of bundling the Kinect on it, imagine what the Wii would have been like if it didn't have the motion controls actually with it. If it just came with a plain old Nintendo controller and had the capability of doing it, but normally just didn't have it, would anybody really have been like so completely crazy about it?
We wouldn't even like be hearing about it now if it was like that.
Right, because it made a template for the developers, like, okay, this is what the system is.
Mm-hmm.
All of the games are made for this thing now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And yeah, most of the games that came out for the Kinect were garbage. They didn't really work that well, but you got to take first steps. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want Minority Report and Iron Man and that sort of stuff, you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, man, voice commands are awesome, especially if you can get them to work. It's so nice.
Yeah,
so.
It sounds like they've added a lot more processing power into the device itself, so they can actually do things like voice analysis, so they can tell who it is that is actually speaking to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how well that works.
That sounds cool in the
real world, but yeah. That's awesome.
I actually read up a little bit about that, and that mm-hmm. was super interesting to me because, just as like an extra specification, this is effectively Kinect HD.
Yes.
And it has full-on dual HD video sensors on it mm-hmm. that collect all of the data,
mm-hmm.
which allows them to do some kind of interesting things. They don't have to actually have the crazy microphone setup that tries to figure out directionality or anything.
Huh.
All it does is cross-reference what it's already collecting from the room, from the video stuff. So it sees somebody's jaw moving, it hears the sound, it syncs up the two, it knows who's talking.
Oh, that's cool.
That's actually even more impressive than I gave it credit for in the first place.
Right, because what the engineer who had mentioned this pointed out is that cross-referencing is always way faster for a machine than actually doing the processing in the first place.
Yeah, because like, oh, I have this signal and that's, and I have a signal over there. They're the same signal. Awesome, I'll just put these two signals together.
Right.
I'll
be curious too, like, if it's going to have, I mean, maybe you even already know from reading that, but like sort of the capabilities. I mean, obviously it can't upgrade hardware-wise, but mm-hmm. software-wise, I'm curious...
Yeah,
how it'll be able, since it's way more powerful than the original Kinect, like
mm-hmm.
how that will be, if they'll be able to upgrade it software over time or.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the other thing. And I don't know how well it'll cross with Kinect, but the cloud thing has huge potential, and PC people have been talking about this forever, about how they're just going to move all of their software onto the cloud and then mm-hmm. just have your machine is just a modem hooked up to a video screen effectively.
Yeah.
Well, that's effectively what they're talking about doing with the Xbox from now on, and it's part of why they're changing the licensing mm-hmm. for games a little bit also. But it basically allows them to have complete and total upgradability, and instead of having your machine trying to do every single little bit of processing,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it can have Microsoft's insane server farm do that processing for you and relay the information back to you.
Server farms.
Yeah, because
they have them all over the globe now.
And they increase, they mention out it's going to be like, what, 300,000, I think?
Yeah,
they're adding another $5,000 every month of insanely huge servers, which is one of the reasons why, in my view, PlayStation always had a hard time dealing with stuff compared to Xbox, is that Xbox had the infrastructure for servers nailed down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had been working on their online component for a lot longer than Sony had.
By a generation, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing that, I mean, I'm kind of old school when it comes to this whole cloud thing. It always kind of makes me a little leery, because what if there's, you know, what if my internet is down? What if the servers go down and then I can't get access to my data? You know, I know that, you know, this has happened to me even with a regular Xbox, and it's, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I like to have access to it regardless of my internet status.
Yeah. It's true, and that's actually one of the huge flame wars that is going on right now, is that everybody's saying, like, oh, well, Xbox is now going to be a complete piece of garbage now because I have to be a super rich user in order to have it.
Yeah,
because I have to have perfect broadband and whatnot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they haven't come out and clarified the always online kind of issue of, like, well, does it, you know, when does it check? When do you need, you know, if I'm mm-hmm. off for X number of times? Like, they haven't really clarified everything yet, so a lot of people are, it's
right.
They're all,
know, it's up
all
in
buzzing.
The air.
The one thing that I'll say, and I may be taking like a huge leap in logic here, but I don't think they have a bunch of drooling idiots working at Microsoft.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they've probably thought this through.
Yeah,
and they still have a disc based system. There is still going to be a certain amount of the game that will exist either on your hard drive in your machine or on a disc that you insert into your machine.
Right.
It yeah. may not give you every single feature that you get when you're online, but that's...
And
you need to be online to get those features anyway, so it's like not...
Because every game now, it's going to be... You have to install it.
Mm-hmm.
You pop it in, but you can play it while it's being installed. So
yes.
you don't have to wait for it to... You know, completely.
Don't need to wait
install.
For 18 gigabytes to be loaded onto your hard drive.
Which
yeah.
is already putting it up ahead of the PlayStation 3. So.
The 4, we'll see. The 4, they have yet to describe how that works for them, but.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then, sort of piggybacking off of that, like, says it's going to come with a 500 gigabyte hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's. It's not super big, but, it, you know,
it's
bigger
almost
than
standard
now.
Now.
Yeah.
Weird
yeah. But. The nice thing is it's got USB 3.0
yep.
and it's going to support external hard drives. So while you can't swap the internal hard drive out,
mm-hmm.
looks like you'll be able to plug in external hard drives. So
and those are getting so ridiculously inexpensive these days that
yeah.
you'll be fine.
Okay, I mean, that was something I was sort of worried about too. I was wondering if they were going to, you know, charge for how much of that cloud that you have access to. Because it is Microsoft, and they do tend to, you know, to charge for these sort of things. But I mean, yeah, that's something I hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
Well, and plus, the other thing is, and it's the problem that a lot of people have had with Xbox from the beginning. You're paying for a subscription anyway,
mm-hmm.
which most
yeah.
likely they're putting that money towards unlimited cloud, is what I'm guessing. So.
Yeah. That, or maybe like they'll give you like the Dropbox model, where you get like. 8, 10, 20 some odd number of gigabytes included as part of your subscription. And then if you're going to go beyond that, then, you know, for a nominal fee, they'll give you more.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted to sort of go back to is the idea that you can have other servers doing your processing for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a bonus thing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
beyond the system. That's sort of the difference between loading the game onto your system versus running it off the disk. That just makes it run smoother. There's still going to be that baseline that
yeah.
they're shooting for the game functionality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically whether you'll be able to get the game to run on high octane
yeah.
or not.
Yeah, the thing that has me excited to see what will happen when they start including cloud architecture in their gaming is...
Before you mention that, quick PSA.
Indeed. Our friends at Xilinx would like to congratulate this year's graduating students on a year well done. An education along with a degree is one of the greatest gifts you can give to yourself, especially in today's technologies... In today's technology-intensive workplace. Remember, education is the gateway to a better life, and only you hold the key. This special reminder has brought to you as a... That wasn't me. It's written wrong. This special reminder was brought to you as a courtesy from Xilinx in San Jose, who'd again like to say congratulations on taking that first step towards a rewarding future. Xilinx, concerned with educating today's students for the challenges of tomorrow's world, they're on the air because they care.
Word.
Yeah, congrats to all those graduating seniors out there.
And technology powers the cloud, which is powering this conversation
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, there we go. See, wow. Amazing. It wasn't like I had to read that specific
mm-hmm.
PSA, but
yeah.
it was perfect.
It worked out well. Where I was going, going next was with offloading like things like matchmaking, physics engines and stuff like that, more of that onto a cloud-based architecture. That means that they can your core system can then focus on making your experience at home as good as possible, and it means that they will probably be expanding the number of players that can show up in a match.
Yeah, so I was curious about that too.
16, 18, that's kind of cool. 64, 128.
Which is what brought me into online gaming on the PC in the first place, and online gaming, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, having those giant loads is really cool. And plus, if you've ever played those games, if you were the person stuck being the server, how much it drains your system. Your frame rate drops like crazy. So having those servers handling that, it's a definite bonus.
Yeah, yeah. You always are wanting that your friend, like, all right, that box, don't touch it. That's the server. No one touches that box.
Right.
Everyone scuttle off to the laptops. But yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be a nice bonus.
It'll be curious, sort of going off of that, since the system has like, I want to say they said like three OSs running.
Yeah.
Right.
How that's going to, like, how much of the RAM's going to be used up with that? How much of the system? Is going to be used up, being able to do those things like the quick jumping from TV to game to switching and all that sort of stuff.
I read up on that quite a bit, and that's actually specifically why they did the different operating systems that interact with each other, is so that it could handle all of the memory stuff in an appropriate way. Because you'll always have...
Because they mentioned, just to go out, they mentioned that the be powered by Windows kernel, and the games would be on the Xbox interface.
Right.
You know, just... to throw it out for people.
Right. So effectively, the Windows side is going to handle all of the, well, I guess, normal PCE type bits. And it's also going to be...
I.O., as they call it.
Right.
Input-output.
But kind of the bigger thing that they were more concerned about is, like you mentioned with Skype and so on, is apps. I mean, everybody is used to using apps like crazy on their phones. Mm-hmm. And so... having that not interact with your actual video game system was a huge concern. So having a dedicated chunk of that memory being for just the application and Windows kernel side of things is a really smart idea. In that way, that is always sitting there running too. So you end up being able to make that quick swap and pull up all of the stuff seamlessly, which I'm sure some of you, it doesn't happen often, but even when you're just trying to open up the blades in normal Xbox, like hitting the Xbox button, sometimes there's a little bit of lag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so having that completely eliminated and being able to replace that with opening up a couple extra apps on the same screen is
kind
pretty
useful.
I
was pretty impressed with some of the early stage demo, early parts of the stage demo, going, that's really cool. Can it really do that? That's because that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
So I have a question, because I'm not very, you know, I'm not a tech geek, really. So, I mean, I know how to use stuff, but I don't know how the inner workings all work together. When he said three operating systems, a part of me went, oh my gosh, there's so much that can go wrong.
Yes and no at the same time, because if each individual operating system is well behaved, it will actually be more efficient than having one massive operating system trying to keep track of all of it.
Because
I mean, when you on most web hosts, like you know, Bluehost or whoever, for website, they are little tiny virtual machines on inside a much larger set of machines.
Right.
So that's effectively what they're doing with this, is that they're saying they're doing a little bit more sort of hardwiring with it by saying this piece is dedicated this way. This piece is dedicated this way. The rest of it is dedicated to this.
Okay.
And by sectioning it off, they can more directly say, if this part fails and needs to reboot, it won't take down the other two parts.
Oh, okay.
And to be honest, if it was another company, I'd be a lot more hesitant about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Xbox is generally put that money that people put into the subscriptions into making this stuff super solid as they can possibly get it.
Yeah.
Which other companies have been a little bit lax on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of changing subjects a little bit. But
sure.
Since a lot of the big focus of the reveal throughout it was mentioning TV-related things, and that was kind of a big thing about everyone complaining, like, well, I don't care about TV stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I am sort of curious, since it seems like they really want you, you know, to use it as the all-in-one box that you hook your cable box into or your satellite or, you know, whatever,
uh-huh.
that for those who don't use cable, like, yeah. are they going to still focus a lot on, because like right now they have, you know, really cool apps, HBO Go, Xfinity, mm-hmm. and, you know, Hulu and Netflix and all those. I'm curious to see, like, are they going to still to try and push to have like a lot of really neat entertainment apps, or are they going to try to like team up with cable provider type of things and try to push that more? I'm curious.
I have a theory. I think it's going to be both. I think mainly what they're trying to do, I think cable feels threatened by all of the people jumping off onto just broadband, because
yeah.
it takes it out of their realm to a certain extent. That honestly, cable is still the best game in town as far as just loads of data. But it's getting to a point where it's not so bad using the other options. And so a lot of people are switching because they're cheaper. And so once they do that, it gets out of cable's realm, which, again, makes them scared. I think what Microsoft is probably trying to do by reintegrating the TV into it is to try and get more of the backroom deals sort of going, so that they can get a good, solid jump start on this system's launch. I think they're probably using cable in order to make it so they can keep the price as low as possible and keep the tech as high as possible, because cable is willing to throw a ton of money at stuff like this to try and get people back into cable.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen any of the deals they're throwing around lately, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, 3/4 of us in the room don't have cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another complaint, too, is like, well, this live TV sort of things, you know, it's at launch, it's only going to be in the U.S. It's like, well, you got to understand, this is a pretty big thing they're trying to do, and they want to make sure that it goes as smoothly as possible. If they tried to do this worldwide, I'm sorry, there's like tons of different cable providers, satellite providers in Europe. I mean, people need to realize it's like doing these things may seem really easy for you because it's just like a push of a button or plugging a thing in. It's not that simple. I mean,
and not to mention that it's their home base is United States.
Yeah, they need to start. I mean, I do feel bad for other countries, and I can understand like, well, I can't have any access to this stuff, and they've been kind of slow getting things into Australia and other stuff like that. But I think they're going to try to push a little more with this one. I think like the 360, a lot of the stuff that they were trying to do and everything was sort of like kind of
the tail end
of the system and everything. And so now that the Xbox One, everything, like they mentioned with Smart Glass, they really wanted to do a lot of stuff with it, but it was kind of the tail end of the 360. But now that this is going to be built around Smart Glass, there's so many more things that they can do. So I think, hopefully, I'm trying to be positive, you know, that things will move faster and faster for other countries and stuff. Yeah, but
right.
To keep things in perspective, when the Xbox 360 launched, the idea of the smartphone was your Palm Trio. The iPhone and its generation of phones that have come after it did not exist. The proliferation of broadband internet was not as deep. All these things that we now take for granted, like Netflix and Hulu and all these other streaming services, they were barely a twinkle in these companies' eyes when the Xbox launched. So the fact that it's now
the only product that existed was basically a brick by today's standards.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what I mentioned before of like, You got to take those first steps. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, the swapping between like live TV, games, movies, all that sort of stuff, like, well, I don't really use TV, that sort of thing. Imagine, okay, they get that technology, they get that ability, they nail it, get it down. Imagine what that can turn into down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I try when I see these things to like kind of look at the big picture, like, okay, I'm not really seeing like, okay, maybe I'm not going to really use that much now, but I imagine that this could lead to something really cool like this more and more.
Well, and another little bit of perspective to throw at people is if you've been a Netflix user and were a loyal user, like through the old mailbox system, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I'm sure you remember this, got access to being able to stream things online.
Yeah.
And pretty much immediately that took over your experience. I'm almost guaranteeing for everybody out there. Like, even if it was limited,
mm-hmm.
you were using Netflix 30 times more than you ever were before. I can almost guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And it was just because it was right there at your fingertips. You didn't need any mechanical swapping or anything like that. It was just there. Now, I know a lot of people aren't sold by having cable on your Xbox.
Yeah.
Once it's there, once it's sitting at your fingertips in mm-hmm. a split second, I can almost guarantee you'll use it 30 times more.
Very true.
I would reluctantly agree. I have this problem with, I've probably mentioned it sometime in the past on the show, where you have this device that does so many different things, and it's sort of a jack of all trades, a master of none. And that was one of the things that immediately, like, oh no, is this what's going to happen to the Xbox? You know, because I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, I'm not going to do the fire thing, but you know, it's a gaming console. And that's, you know, really what I want my experience to be. But as Jason just said, you know, if I can watch TV on it, well, I guess I'm gonna.
Or watch through it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm aware that it might not be the best experience, but hey, it's there. I'm gonna do it.
And it will get better because they can improve software.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm
sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, but that's one of the things that sort of bothers me a lot with the technology that does all these things. You know, I have a phone and it can do all these neat apps and things, and it can also make phone calls. Hey, but you know, you know, the phone calls would probably be so much better if it didn't do the apps thing as well. You know, and vice versa. And it's sort of the same thing. You know, with tablets versus readers. You know, it can do. There are things that can do both really well, but neither one very spectacularly. I'm kind of afraid of that with the Xbox.
I see where you're going with that and your logic and your thought pattern. I don't think that will be quite the same experience.
Well, and just another for example, I know there's a lot of people out there who were hesitant about the jump to smartphone.
Mm.
And I think anybody who's gotten used to a smartphone and gotten as hopelessly addicted to it as pretty much everybody in this room.
Mm-hmm. Guilty.
You're not going back. You're
not willingly.
You're not going to touch anything else. And so <Yeah. laughs> you're right. It probably could function better. But here's the thing. You know the people that are sitting there doggedly right now, when you're holding your smartphone in your hand and you're listening to them saying, oh, I hate smartphones, I just want my thing to be able to do phone calls. You look at that person like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you do.
It's true.
This may not be a bit of reality you like looking at right now. That person is a dinosaur. Don't be a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
I would say to sort of move it along. We haven't mentioned the controller.
No. Yeah.
What do you guys think of the design on the controller? I mean, obviously, you know, you want to get your hands on it, but what do you think of it so far? Like,
finally, a plus style D-pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a fighting games person, Okay, I'm still hesitant because they already did a plus style D-pad, and I was very excited, and it turned out worse than the last one.
Yeah,
so
I think that was
I am
sort
a little
of a...
afraid of that.
Yeah, my impression of that one is that it was sort of a hack on top of the existing system for the thing. They just made a
see
neat
what
way
you
of
haven't
working.
Seen is. If you crack open those things, it's a complete and total redesign on that controller.
Oh,
it
really?
Isn't a hack. They redesigned that thing from scratch, and they still made it worse than it was before.
Mm. Okay.
From the outside, it looks the same, except for that thing. Except
right.
for the D-pad swappy thingy, which is still kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
But on the inside, it's a completely different animal altogether.
Mm. Okay.
They completely changed the architecture, everything. It's not, it doesn't even run the same way.
Hmm.
Anyway, enough ranting on that.
Yeah.
Since I'm one of those crazy people who tried to hack arcade controllers because of that.
Yeah.
But now I've completely lost where I was going. Oh, okay.
The new
so
one.
Do you like
okay,
it?
There's two things that I really like about it.
Okay.
Actually putting the vibration sensors in the triggers themselves.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what developers...
Yeah, that has some huge advantages that I don't know if it's going to work, but huge potential right there.
Yeah.
Because that's direct feedback instead of it trying to kind of work its way through things.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the actual... analog pads.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the tech on those.
Yeah, they're actually digital now, I believe.
They're magnetic sensor instead of being potentiometer, which
mm-hmm.
again, as being somebody who's hacked one of these things apart and seen why they work the way they do, it's because they have a big spring in there that keeps them at neutral zero.
Right.
Having it magnetic sensor means that you can have almost zero like push against the thing at all, which means that you don't have any thumb fatigue at all.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if that means you could also like knock it forward and like take your thumb off of it if you're gonna be like running in one direction for quite some time.
I don't think, well, my way of looking at it is that the magnet is always gonna be throwing
neutral.
It back to zero, but still the possibility of how much effort it takes to do that is going to be quite a bit different.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I also like the way that they kind of like integrated it with the Kinect, where it's like if the Kinect recognizes if you're holding the controller as opposed to being open-handed, and it will respond in kind to the game input from your body being lifting the remote as opposed to your having an open hand.
Right. Yeah. I'd mention that in when we were talking about what we were looking forward to,
mm-hmm.
with it being a full-on Kinect integrated system, which I think we kind of had the idea that they were going to do back then, but now it being completely confirmed, that's back on the table. And again, it's back to the software side of things too. Now people are going to be designing the games for using the Kinect. It's going to be there no matter what. It's like I said, back to like a nunchuck with a Wii. I mean, nobody designs a Wii game without using the nunchuck.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think that's a huge bonus.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would say before we move on, I like that the battery thing is flat now.
Yes.
Inside.
Okay.
So that should be nice. I mean, it's still
Knuckles will be
need
knocking against it as much.
Yeah, that should
I have one reservation against that, is that now that the battery is actually like a built-in thing for it, it has the same problem that the PlayStation 3 has, is that once that battery's dead, your controller is dead.
You can pop it out.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, they showed it. It pop. It
oh, that's great.
Pops out.
Okay.
Yeah, so as far
I love,
as I know.
Yeah, I love making my wireless controller wired so that I can actually play.
Yeah. Okay, before we get to a little bit of the games and wrap up the show, at our last PSA.
Another PSA. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving forever and foster homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Alrighty, so yeah, we can mention some of the games that there wasn't very much, but again, like they said, E3 is where they're going to drop most of their games. So obviously the big, you know, a lot of the big ones were EA had a pretty big presence with sports games and, you know, their big racing game
Forza for
Xbox, you know, they showed off that and whatnot. So If you're into sports games, I'm sure you're probably excited about those to see. I mean, they didn't really show like gameplay stuff, but they just sort of talked about it and
demoed what they can do with it with the new rendering power of the 360 or I'm sorry, the one.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's the one.
But the big one, obviously, that they ended with was Call of Duty Ghosts.
Oh, you forgot the one made famous by Beyonce, Halo.
Oh,
well, the Halo TV series.
TV series with Steven Spielberg as producer. Interesting.
On it. So, yeah, that should be interesting. But to games, we talked about, like, Call of Duty Ghosts last week.
Right.
And, again, like, this one, it didn't really show, like, any kind of major details as far as, like, gameplay and whatnot, but it was a little more of, like, an actual reveal trailer. And,
right.
So, all I have to say, first off, is I love that dog.
Yes.
I can't wait to, like, however that dog is implemented. Mm-hmm. I think looks totally awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have jumped right over the uncanny valley and just, oh, my gosh, that totally looks human. That was awesome.
That is the most human-looking dog I've ever seen.
It's like a dog with a man's face. Or is it face with a dog, man? No. Anyways. Sorry.
I have to admit, okay, I've been frustrated just because I've been reading tons of stuff that are the huge flame wars against the Xbox release, and one of the most clever ones that I saw was about them, like, doing the behind-the-scenes thing of, like, building the dog, and I guess they did a thing where it was, like, opening the dog's mouth, and so it had the picture of that, and it said, yes, the Xbox reveal, exactly one jaw dropped.
Nice. I liked just seeing the dog in the mocap costume. That was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But also like just seeing like the one of the things that I liked about both the Forza demo and the Ghost demo specifically is that they really started showing off like the visual potential of what a game can look like. It now looks almost like an animated feature or special effects film. Yeah. It doesn't look as much like a game anymore. It's kind of awesome.
I really liked the side-by-side comparison. Sometimes it's easy to take for granted. It's like, oh, that's so pretty, but it is so much prettier actually compared to this, which we will see, you know, 5 seconds from now.
Yeah, I do like that they mentioned they're bringing customization to your character. You'll be able to customize what they look like and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna do
which I was promised in Black Ops 1. They never gave me, and so
thank you
finally. Even though you're not the same company,
but. Yeah. One thing that was brought up, and it'll be curious to see if they reveal more later, is someone mentioned like, well, how come I can't play as a female soldier? You know, and customize, you know, a female soldier, and so I'm curious if because the way they sort of set up the story is like. 10 years after some crazy event, and America looks like kind of like a war zone and whatnot. So it is ripe for actually putting in female soldiers. So
it'd
be curious if that's something they're going to reveal later on. It would be nice. I mean,
or maybe as maybe make it a little bit like Borderlands, where they like add in more characters as extra content for the game.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, they didn't go into detail about a perk system or that sort of thing. But it was mostly just the graphical updates.
Right.
But But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it.
I mean,
I know it was still a lot of people like, oh, it's nothing terribly different. But they did show off you can mantle now when you go up to things, you'll be able to go over.
Oh, yeah.
And the lean. You can lean out of cover and fire. They showed off.
I can almost guarantee is like good motion capture or motion
detection
type stuff. So.
Yeah. They show a little bit of that off in, well, showed it at the reveal, but it was in one of the behind the scenes stuff for it where you see the mocap with the dog and some of the other.
Yeah. The other thing is like, it's nice to see that make it a launch onto the consoles because I remember that being a feature of Call of Duty 4 on the PC.
And just about every shooter on the PC, I think, has had the lean in it as just the extra. I forget which key it is, but yeah, it's been like a staple of them ever since. So
yeah,
it has been sad not to see that in consoles.
But it's nice that it's coming in.
Yeah.
Especially since if you've ever seen somebody playing these games, you see that they're doing the lean anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
All players are like, as the guy around the corner, lean.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't, nothing moved. Oh, right. I'm not actually able to lean in this game.
So once the controller actually does that for you, when you do it without thinking, I think you'll appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like there's going to be a lot of really interesting things that developers and gamers will be able to experience once this actually lands.
I think so, too.
Exciting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing where it all goes.
They haven't said anything about a price tag yet, right?
No. That's probably going to be E3 or even later after that.
Yeah.
Holiday season is when we'll probably start hearing pricing on it.
Yeah, they might either drop when it's coming out and price at E3 or, you know, one or the other.
Plus the other thing is that this is a crucial time for them to gauge how much people are salivating or not salivating.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
Plus, like, Ghosts comes out the November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to drop 11, 12, 13. That's the next week.
Uh-huh.
Something has to take advantage of that. They've always done that. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the release date or something big has to take that date. Mm-hmm. It would be foolish not to take that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, that's been our discussion of the Xbox One. It was revealed this week. Hopefully you enjoyed all that talk, and definitely let us know what you think, what you liked, didn't like, and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Caleb will quickly tell you how you can do that, and then we're going to wrap up the show and stick around for the Pre-Funk show coming on right after.
Yes. Stick around. But till then, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. You can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And finally, there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And our own website where we have links to all the things we described under a button called Interact. And archived episodes and all the other good stuff at robotsattack.me. That's where you can find all of that. I'm going to round out my this little section here with some feedback that we got from a listener. Creative tip, take however long you think your creative project will take and multiply it by 3. That makes your expectation of the amount of time it will take more realistic and will also reduce your amount of frustration you feel with it. And our listener is also a painter.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday from 7 to 9. This has been Robots Attack. Have a good one. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. All right.
Yep.
Take it easy. Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.